All right, ready?
Yep.
Stop that. Fuck off. No.
I heard that. What were you doing?
Laura was fucking tapping the mic with her fucking her hair elastic.
I was doing this. Oh.
Stop it.
Sounds like a kitty.
I will take that from you.
It kind of down. It does sound like a bit of like it sounds like static and a cat purring
so
at the same time.
You should stop. I'm not fucking kidding. I'm not even kidding. Do not do that. You gonna be good? Hey everybody, welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Untitled Mike and Laura Project. I am Mike.
I'm Laura.
And you're tired.
I'm overtired, I think.
You're overtired.
And we're joined with a very, 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 very special guest.
That's right.
I had a few berries in there. Yay!
Yay!
Very special.
It's Steve.
It's Steve.
Hi, Steve. Hi.
So for anyone, for some reason... If anyone listening to the show has no idea who Steve is, Steve, please give us the deets on Steve.
Well, I am I don't know whether to say a former co-founder, but I guess I was a co-founder.
If you're a co-founder, I believe you always stay the co-founder.
Sweet. Then I'm a co-founder of This Week in Geek, and I'm also the founder / executive producer for These Warriors Are Terrible. You can find both thisweekingeek.net and thesewarriorsterrible.com.
There you go.
Yay.
Nice job, Steve.
Thank you. That's what all those years of radio has taught me.
What they didn't teach you was how to have a good microphone for an interview.
I was going to say basically the same thing.
this is just pure laziness.
What is this? Is this one of those,
I'm glad
like...
we were like good enough for you to like pull out your big game.
Yeah,
Steve.
Like is this one of those mics on a stick?
You guys are good enough that I'm actually here.
Right.
Oh!
Beyond that, okay. you guys get what you get.
Right. So what is it? One of those mics on a stick? Because that's what it sounds like.
No, I'm just using my computer mic. That's all.
So it's just
even
like
worse
on the laptop, right?
No. I'm sitting at my desktop on my desk in my office. Mm-hmm. So there.
So we're gonna get down to the nitty gritty of. So what are you thinking of Big Brother so far this season, Steve?
Oh yes, this is the most important thing.
Yes. Okay. All right. So I did you guys watch tonight's episode yet or no?
Tonight's episode?
You mean yesterday's? You were catching up, weren't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I have another episode to watch. Woohoo! I think. Okay. Yes! No, I do! Woohoo! All right, so I just finished the Power Veto episode for this
okay,
week.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
Fuck Caleb.
Oh my god, Caleb. Do you do any of the live feed stuff?
No. I only checked out the live feeds, or at least spoilers stuff, when that long head of household competition happened, so I wanted to see who actually won, and yeah. I did get spoiled about who basically became the two nominees, or the four nominees, and then the two, and then the win the Power of Vino, but I completely forgot about that when I was watching it today, so I was, yeah, but that's the only thing I checked out as far as spoiler stuff.
Yeah, see, no, I do, I don't have the feeds, but I follow, like, Twitters and Reddit accounts, and, like, look at what they're posting about it, because I find that you miss a lot when you don't know anything about the live feeds, right? So like, because like, Caleb's way creepier than even the TV show is showing people.
Well, considering at one point he's sneaking up to the HOH room, and he walks in and just kind of creepily sits down and is kind of brandishing a knife in a
very
way, and then just sits there and no one's talking to him, so he just leaves. That's just like, A, that is super creepy, and B, that's like high school, I see that you're with the girl that I like, and I'm mad now, so I'm gonna leave.
Yeah, no, so live feed stuff, one of his brilliant ideas is apparently Amber really likes pickles, but she doesn't like bananas. So he wants to take a banana out of its peel and put the pickle in its peel and give it to her and say, see, it's what's on the inside that counts.
That's just dumb high school stuff.
It's really dumb.
He sounds like a real idiot.
But like, as much as I'm like, this is kind of getting out of hand,
yes,
it kind of has filled the void I had of like, what dumb stuff has
Devin
done this week.
Yeah.
And so now it's, but now who do you have any favorites?
I love Donnie. Donnie's my
Everybody
absolute...
likes Donnie, and I'm like, I don't know.
Donnie's such a nice guy. How can you not like Donnie?
Reminds me of where I grew up.
The reason why Mike and I like Donnie is because we're nice guys.
Yes.
And well, it's not that I don't like Donnie, but like, I'm gonna go the exact opposite. I've decided I really like Zach because he's got like, he's mischievous, and the house needs like a mischievous character because like, he's actually really sweet, and when Derek was reading his letter from his family and Zach was crying, and like, there's something else that happens that I saw on the live feed stuff that like, and he like. Is such a suck and so sweet. He's just like a little puppy with a stick, and he's just like, I gotta go do this, and I gotta do that, and I gotta do that, and I'm gonna screw with this person, I'm gonna screw with that person. Ooh, this is fun. Bounce, 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 bounce.
Yeah, he's mischievous without being disruptive.
Yeah, no, he's more mischievous in the, like, he just does stuff for the sake of doing it, and, like, telling people stuff for the sake of telling them to, like, see what will happen within the house. And it's good. Like, he's a little bit of a shit disturber without going too far with it right now. So I can dig it.
I do like Zach. I also like Frankie.
I like Frankie too. I like Zanky.
Zanky, yes. The bromance is great.
Yeah.
Although I don't know what they're going to do with Frankie now. Because I don't know if they did it in the live show or not. So I have no idea. But I know that I think his grandpa.
Okay, that was what I was talking about. Yeah, his grandfather passed away. He got a letter from his family letting him know. And the whole house kind of got together and, like, you know, sweet and hugged. And he's staying. And that was what, but, like, apparently Zach barely held it together. And then he, like, went off to the have-not room alone and, like, bawled his eyes out.
Who, Frankie or Zach?
Zach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, he actually probably is, like, a real softy. He's just, you know.
Yeah, because at the beginning of the game, he was, like, saying, like, I don't like anybody. I only like myself. And so I was like, oh, great, great. This guy's going to just be a douchebag. But, I don't know whether it's just the house that's changed him or he was like that all along. He just sort of is very sure of himself.
For sure.
Yeah, I like him. I don't like any of the girls. The girls bore me to no end.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of really strong guy personalities. Like, you've got Caleb being an idiot. Yeah. Frankie being outlandish, Zach being a shit disturber, Devin was controlled like everybody's attention for a while. Donnie is like the good old boy, and like there's all the guys have the only guy I kept forgetting was in the house was Cody, and now that there's this whole like love triangle with Amber, it's like, oh yeah, Cody's in the house.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. Like, the only girl I enjoyed was Joey, and she was first out of the game.
I know. Apparently, on the live feed, she was like super annoying, though.
Oh, really?
I like Nicole. She's kind of adorable.
She's kind of a dork. I like her too.
She's what I like to call adorkable.
Yeah, she kind of is. I like her. The fact that she's afraid of ghosts.
Yes. Yeah.
I like the little alliance that she has with Christine.
I do like that alliance, yeah.
It's awkward, it's dorky, and I do enjoy that a bit. So, I loved at one point when Victoria, she's going out to sunbathe, everyone's like catcalling her. And I love that one line from Hayden. It's like, what's your name, Short? Like, seriously, no, what's your name?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and like people, like someone posted a picture on Twitter and it was like, production member spotted in the Big Brother house, and it was just a picture of Victoria.
So, okay, in the live feed, is she just as like silent and not around as she is in the show?
Yeah, basically, apparently. Like, apparently she does absolutely nothing.
Wow. And that was the thing that, like, she had said that, oh, she's this princess, and like, it made it seem as if she was going to be another Amanda.
Yeah.
And I, like, wow, she does nothing.
Maybe she's just waiting. Maybe she knows that if you play too hard too fast, you go at the door like Devin. She's biding her time.
No,
she's
going to
be the greatest player the game has ever seen.
I think she's just an idiot.
No,
the other thing is, Zach kind of reminds me of Will Kirby, who won season 2 and almost won a season of All-Stars. Like, he's one of the greatest guys to ever play the game, and Zach reminds me of him just a little bit, because Will would do, like, shit disturbery stuff too, and he had that little bit of mischievousness to him, and Will's always going to be like one of my absolute favorite people from the show. So
yeah, no, it's a good season so far. At least there's personalities in the house, because last year there was like, no.
Oh my God, last year was awful.
Yeah, I did not I honestly I can't even remember who actually won last year.
Andy did, because he was the first gay one, and that's the only reason why I remember it was him who won.
I forgot. You had to remind me.
Most what I remember is Gina Marie being crazy over... And, like, I don't want Amber to leave because Caleb's an idiot, but I also want Amber to leave to see, like, if Caleb makes a shrine to her.
She pulls a... He pulls a Gina Marie?
Yeah.
Like, wow. I want to see that happen so bad.
I know, so I'm like, well, too bad for her game, but I got to see this shit.
It's like, oh my god, she left her scrunchie.
Oh,
that's going to be great television if that happens.
I hope so.
And
like,
he's
honestly.
Beat up anybody who touches it.
Oh, yeah. Yes. The cockroaches.
The cockroaches.
Yeah, oh my god, she's good crazy. Times. Apparently, she's got a ton of plastic surgery.
Lately? Oh.
Yeah, if you go on her like Twitter page, and apparently she's Team Caleb, which is no surprise.
Oh, yeah, okay. that makes a heck of a lot of sense now.
Yeah.
So, now that we've concluded our Big Brother chat, which actually went a lot longer.
Why are you trying to ruin our fun, Mike?
No, he's a
sorry.
Ruiner.
Maybe we should have you back at Big Brother. I don't know. We brought you on to talk about a topic, Steve.
I'm kidding. Buddy.
And you know what?
I love you.
I'm not going to go to that topic right now. Earlier this week. Now, did you see what happened the other night to us on Twitter, Steve, or on Facebook? Regarding our
living residence?
Oh, yeah,
I guess we should talk about that for a second because it's exciting.
It is exciting. Basically, I got a text from one of our friends. Laura and I met up out of town to go shopping because of my birthday. So I was cashing in my birthday presents, I guess, because I got a
gift
bunch
cards.
Of gift cards. Yeah, I wasn't just being like, thanks for everything, and then trading it in. I had gift cards. So we were out of town just, you know, shopping, and I got a text from our friend Steph, who lives in the building with Trevor, and she's like, are you guys home right now? And we're like, no, we're not. And when I read that, the first thing I'm thinking is like, she's like, oh, can you come out, like, go upstairs and feed the cats or something? I forgot, you know, something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, we're out right now. And she's like, oh, okay. Well, I don't want to tell you until later, so text me later. And I'm just like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, I don't want to alarm you. And I'm like, well, this is alarming me.
Oh, this thing.
Yes.
Because I was like, what the heck are you talking about? I'm like, now I remember.
Now you get it.
Yeah.
So she texts me back, and she's like, so the building is on fire? And we're just like, what? And she's like, yeah, the street's closed down, and there's like 8 fire trucks here, and there's a big crowd outside, and there's a lot of smoke. And we're just like, why are we not in town? Like, yeah. Why aren't we home when this ridiculous bullshit is happening to our apartment?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what the hell's happening?
Because your cats too.
Seriously,
my first thought was my babies.
Yeah, and Steph's like, well, you don't bother coming home because you're not getting in. Like, the street's blocked off. Like, so we're freaking out because our cats are there. So we're sitting at Arby's, like, our building.
I'm thinking my kitties. I don't care about any of the stuff.
I just care about my kitties. The kitties. But we go on Twitter and we start looking because we just searched. Apparently, Laura's a lot better at Twitter than I am.
I'm a lot better at social media.
Yeah, searching hashtags and the like to see, because they're like the local newspaper website was tweeting about the building, and there's like pictures on their Twitter of a big thing of smoke coming out of our building. But at the same time, we could tell from the pictures that it was nowhere near our apartment,
like 10 floors above it.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, that's a plus.
Isn't that near Steph and Trevor?
No, because they're 30 floors above us.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it was like right in the middle.
It was basically in the middle of our two apartments.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And but there's a lot of smoke, and you can see the fire in the pictures, even though they're far away. And so we're sort of freaking out that our building is on fire. Steph messages us back and says that the fire is out. Like, they've come over the loudspeaker and said the fire is out. But they're doing an investigation, and they're not going to open the street for a while, so don't bother coming home. So we're like, well, good news. Fire is done, but bad news is we can't go anywhere near our home
right.
for a few hours. So it was she messaged us around 6:30, and it was after 9 that we finally were able to get home.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Steph very nicely came down to check the apartment to make sure, like...
I just thought that our floor wasn't, like, say, flooded or...
Yeah, because, like, yeah. We kind of, there's like our building is on top of another building, essentially.
Yeah.
Like it's a tall apartment building coming out of like, a commercial strip mall.
Right.
So we live on the floor with the roof. So, I mean, if they're spraying water out the window, is it pooling on the roof
right.
and then coming in our windows? Like what's going on? So, no, Steph came down and she sort of did as much of a look around as she can do without coming into the apartment. And she said things were fine. So we were less worried, but not completely. Not worried.
Yeah.
My babies.
Yeah. So we came home.
The cats are okay?
Oh, yeah. They're fine. They didn't, like, they mostly seemed to care that they hadn't been fed in a few hours.
Yeah. The worst that, like, the side of the building had this huge black scorch mark on it.
Yeah.
And it was exactly, it was the same unit as ours. So
wow.
It was exactly, like, 11
above
floors
us.
Above us.
Yeah.
Well, so. I saw, the first thing I saw of it was... the picture of the tweet that you posted,
oh,
and
yeah,
it was,
well,
like,
that's
that went into it, and that's why I'm like, holy shit, there's a plane that went into it.
Yeah, no, that guy made that picture, and it was very distasteful.
Did that picture?
Yeah, the guy made that picture.
Okay. Basically, what
you took the picture, the original picture.
Oh, the original picture.
Oh, did we take that picture?
Yeah.
No. I took. Somebody posted it on Twitter, and I just copied it. That's why, if you look at the picture I posted, it says "not my photo" as the hashtag,
okay,
just in case somebody was like, "You're taking credit."
Yeah, because I think I saw the lower post, and I thought that was like her photo. I'm like, "Holy shit!"
Yeah, no, it was all out by the time we got home.
Yeah,
it's been a frustrating week.
Yeah, well, the thing that Steve was talking about. Do we want to get too into that?
No, it's fine. I don't want to. I want to talk about what we were originally going to talk about.
Okay. Well. Anyway, long story short. Everything's fine here.
Everything's fine.
The cats were hungry.
There was no injuries in the building. The guy whose apartment it was got out no problem.
Yeah.
So does the building still smell like smoke?
No.
No. It didn't even smell like smoke when we got home.
No.
Maybe a little bit.
It smelled worse of smoke when that other fire happened
yeah.
a few days earlier.
A few days earlier, yeah. Like this big industrial plant went up a couple blocks from here. You could see it from like the balcony, but our window doesn't face that way,
yeah.
So we didn't see it.
But
we could certainly smell it.
Yeah,
that was
like
for sure.
Down all of downtown Hamilton was hazy. That's how big it was.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, it was crazy.
A couple explosions. Nobody hurt there either, so all
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it was like empty, so.
So anyway, like I said, everything's good. With that in mind, with that exciting update, we thought that we would bring you to the true purpose that we brought Steve on. And if you were listening to last week's show, we kind of let that one go as we had an idea off the top of our heads.
Idea off the top of my head.
Okay, I'm pretty sure you were just talking about that, and I brought it up. But whatever.
Write in and let us know.
I don't care. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, you don't care because you know I'm right.
No, is it that big a deal?
That I'm right?
The credit?
Always.
It's yours. Laura's amazing idea was
hun.
To bring Steve on the show. Not
I'm beginning
my
to think
idea.
That this should be the Untitled Laura and Mike project.
It's the
yeah.
Untitled
yeah.
Laura Thinks of Everything project.
Basically.
And Mike is here.
As
eye candy.
Yeah, Mike, you're the eye candy.
And to do the broadcast shit at the beginning and the end because Laura can't open or close the show.
Yeah, well.
Or edit it.
Or edit it, yes. That's why my name is first.
okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway, so Steve is here. Laura and Steve are both writers, and they self-publish their own.
What? Sorry, no, go ahead.
I got so confused. I'm like, what did I say? And I thought you'd be like, I'm an artiste or something like that.
No, I was like, wait, I'm a writer?
Surprise. Surprise, Steve.
Woo!
So Laura and Steve, they both write their own stuff and they publish their own stuff. So we thought that we would have like kind of a discussion about, you know, self-publishing and doing your own writing and what you need to know and you know, hardness of it. I don't know. The thing is I'm like the super outsider here, so I'm going to just kind of take a step back. And
but, Mike, there is one thing that we still need you to do.
Can you play
the topic time thing?
Oh, yeah. I can play the topic time. I can bring that back. All right, hold on.
Woo! Right. Topic time!
There you go. There you go, Steve.
Love it.
I like the dinosaur bit.
That's the other
one. Oh, that's a feedback
tag.
Never mind, I'm sorry.
I can just play the dinosaur if you want.
The dinosaur is always good.
All right, I'll play the dinosaur.
Yeah, there we go, Steve.
The dinosaur is the best. It's from Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it is.
Anyway. So the topic. I guess since Laura can't start a thing, I'll jump off. Laura's laughing at a GIF that she's watching instead of paying attention to us. So. Although that is a pretty fucking fantastic GIF.
Actually, speaking of and memes, there was one thing that came out of Con Bravo this past weekend that I thought would be absolutely hilarious, and it has to do with me specifically. Oh. It's basically a descriptive video for memes.
Oh, really?
And done in, like, really weird voices. So we thought, like, what if Gilbert Gottfried narrated, like, descriptive video for memes?
Did
like,
you fucking see the video that somebody made? And it's Gilbert Gottfried narrating 50 Shades of Grey?
Oh, my God,
Grey?
It's...
No, it's not that video. Somebody has taken that audio and edited it to Iago jumping around on fucking Jafar's shoulder saying all that stuff to him.
I thought
him.
You were going to say edited it over the 50 Shades of Grey trailer.
Oh, no.
That would be great.
That did just come out today.
But I thought you were talking about the video Gilbert Gottfried did of like saying classic video games.
I saw that. That was good. He did some Metal Gear stuff. It was nice.
Yeah.
So in terms of self-publishing, like for the both of you, Steve, you can go first because Laura's on her phone. What was it about, like, you know, like writing that you were like, you know what, I gotta get this off the ground, and it's me that's gotta get it started. I'm not gonna be looking for like a publisher to do it for me.
Well, it sort of became two different things. One where I finally decided to actually write and become a writer, and then when I actually decided to become a self-publisher. The first time when I wanted to write, I was a big fan, and I still am a big fan of Wil Wheaton. And back in 2006, 2005, I was reading his blog pretty regularly, and I was following along in the fact that he kind of had become a writer, and he was putting out his own books. Yeah, it was through like a sort of an indie publisher, but he was putting out his own stuff, and I was with my friends, and I was just kind of thinking about it. It was always in the back of my head, and then I just kind of blurted out to my friends and decided, you know what, I'm just going to write a book. Mainly just to say that in my 30s, I said I wrote a book when I was 23, 24.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, let's do it. And a bunch of us got together, kind of did this whole writer's group thing, and that's when the very first thing I ever wrote was Black Shadow. Which is the podcast novel that you can find at stevesaylor.net.
Hey, this isn't a self-promo podcast, Steve. I'm kidding.
Because I know you're going to do the same thing, so stop. Black Shadow was the very first thing I ever published. Now, granted, looking back at it now, it's probably not the best. It's definitely not the best writing I've ever done.
Right.
And
you're starting out, right?
If I had to rate it, I would give it maybe 2.5, maybe 3 stars out of 5. Whatever. But I caught the bug. I really enjoyed writing. I enjoyed kind of crafting the story more so than the mechanics of it. But I just loved sitting down at my laptop or at my computer and just cranking out a couple thousand words at a time. And it was just, I got lost in the story. And then when I decided to do like self-publishing, because I had just finished putting out the podcast of Black Shadow, and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do afterwards as sort of my next writing project. And I was I had a few sort of novel ideas to do, and I thought maybe this is a time to kind of look into getting a publisher. And so I went to Dragon Con in 2008.
Where's Dragon Con again? Where is Dragon Con again?
That's in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not even like a convention center. It's like four hotels, like very large hotels that are on like the same intersection, and they're all connecting to each other. And there's just basically the whole con is there. It's commonly known as sort of the sister con to Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that go to it, a lot of celebrities, and it's sort of it's Comic Con, but feels like more like a community convention.
Isn't it the one where like everybody cosplays like crazy? Like it's the one.
Oh really, yeah, it is cosplay there. It's like I would say 8 out of 10 people are cosplaying there.
Wow.
It is that, like, I'm one of those two that never cosplayed when I was there, but that was constant. It was just everywhere you go, they actually have their own parade. They have a cosplay parade that goes through the streets of Atlanta.
That's crazy bones.
Yeah. So when I was there as press for This Week in Geek because I figured, well, there's a bunch of celebrities there. Let's see if I can be able to get some interviews. And there was one interview that we had lined up because we talked to her before, and it was Laurel K. Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And she wrote writes a series of vampire hunter novels. I think it's called Anita Blake.
Anita Blake, yeah.
Yeah. So we had talked to her before because a friend of ours at Twig at the time loved her books. So we set up an interview and we got that. But then DragonCon was the second time we were going to talk. I was going to talk to her, and it was the first time actually meeting her in face to face. And so I got to sit down and chat with her. And then I asked her just kind of offhandedly, so when can you, like even though I've sort of have become an author of my own stuff, I put out a podcast novel. I asked her like, when is the boundary of like, okay, you can actually, like, you can legitimately call yourself an author? Because self-publishing at the time wasn't really that, like, it wasn't as big as it is now. Mm-hmm. And so she responded back with, as soon as you could be able to wallpaper an entire room with rejection letters, that's when you can call yourself an author. And I was like, fuck that. Because it's not like I didn't want to face rejection. I didn't care about that. I mean, it would hurt a little bit, but
right.
That wasn't like the motivating factor of trying to be able to get a publisher or when I can actually call myself an author. So that's when I decided, like, full on then, I was just going to put on my own stuff and just put it on the web because it seemed to be a much better platform than the big six publishers kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I went with that, and then basically, I've done a few sort of ebooks on Amazon, and I've done a few audiobooks, and yeah, and I've just been kind of putting its stuff out ever since.
Cool. When, and you publish under your own name? Sorry, I know you do,
yeah.
But yeah, just for our audience too, so they can look up your stuff on your Amazon page under Steve Saylor and check out your writings. Now, I know you've got, like, you have a lot on the go. You do podcasting and you do the Terrible Warrior stuff, and you,
he's the boss.
Yeah, you run that, which is a lot of work. You have a full-time job. I mean, you run your own home. Like, there's just, do you still find time to write, or is it more of a struggle for you now?
It's all like, it generally, whenever I have like some basically a day job minus basically take away all the extra projects like podcasting and stuff like that, generally my writing falls by the wayside and just sort of becomes a bit of the least priority, but just a lower priority.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm constantly always coming up with story ideas. I have on my phone, I use the Voice Memos app as sort of my
me too.
Yeah, it works great. I love that Voice Memos app.
Like, seriously, I never thought I would be that guy. Like, all I can think is Twin Peaks, and it's like, you know.
Oh, yeah, they're recording it to the little digital.
Yeah, and then it's like, the pie here is excellent. You know, like, I see myself, like, story idea.
Yeah, I have Voice Memos going back at least about, like, 2-3 years.
Wow.
Story ideas that I just haven't had a chance to flesh out. And so, but when I do try to sit down to write, I can never do it at home. I really can't. It's just too distracting to be at home and do it, because it's just.
To be fair, I hear that a lot, and like I'm not gonna lie, I find if I write at the computer, next thing I know, I'm on BuzzFeed, and it's like, I didn't even remember going to this website, or it's like, oh, let's just check Reddit for a bit. Why? Ooh, I didn't even log on, like. Because it's just like, it's almost like highway hypnosis. It's like you'll get like a little bit done, and next thing I know, I'm surfing the internet and not doing any work. And I was like, okay, once I got another job outside the house, like, that was okay, because even if I spent like 3 hours dicking off, I still probably got like 6 hours of work done that day, right? Like, so that's, and then I was literally doing that every day for 7 months. Like, I was very, 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 very productive. And I was actually seeing four figures payments. Because you don't get, like, for anyone looking to self-publish, mm-hmm. it is certainly not going to be get-rich-quick schemes, because it takes forever. And then even when you do start to see success, Amazon doesn't pay you for months after. So yes. It's super not going to get you rich quick. But I was starting to see like four figures and I was like, that's amazing. And then I went back to work and because as much as it was four figures, it was very low four figures and not going to cover the bills. So as soon as I went back to work, I all of a sudden wasn't doing as much work at all. Like I was doing nothing. And I was like, shit. And the moment my production started to fall, my sales fell right along with it. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that I don't think a lot of people realize with self-publishing. I was talking to someone else recently saying that, you know, their boyfriend's writing a book. And, you know, it's basically like, and I'm not going to lie, I did the same thing when I finished my first novel. It's like, all right, I'm going to get this done. And it doesn't matter how many people, you know, have told me, don't expect to get rich quick off it. I was like, man, put this out. Gonna be like in the money, I'm not gonna have to work anymore, it's gonna be great, and it makes me a couple hundred bucks a month on a good month.
I mean I will say this, like it's better than nothing. Exactly, you didn't have before,
for sure. Don't get me wrong, like I'm super happy about that, but like, you know, like a lot of people think put a book out, it's your like window to success, and a lot of people don't realize that the average author still to this day, average author makes $500 a month, or no, not a month. That would be great if like, but no, yeah. A year. Now that is counting your E.L. Jameses, your Stephanie Meyers, like all these people. $500 a year, they're factored into that average. And so you can imagine how many people are making $0 a year doing writing, like yeah. To make that average out, because it's the case. And at least with self-publishing, you don't have... Random House or Penguin or any of those guys refusing to put your book out. Like, yeah. At least when you can put it online for people to buy, it's out there, which is more ahead of the game than people were 10 years ago.
Exactly. And there's no middle person, basically.
Yeah, and not even that, because, like, there's no one to dictate if you're allowed to sell your book, essentially. You are allowed to sell your book. You're good to go. Well, Amazon is a little bit able to dictate what you're going to sell, but that mostly applies to erotica authors like myself. Because they can, on some... Basically, okay, so anybody who's looking to actually make money writing, and they want to make money quickly, as quick as you can, essentially... And more of a guarantee of making money, you'll probably never like have a best-selling novel unless you write a full-length romance erotica like Fifty Shades of Grey. But erotica is a great way to make extra money, and that's like my one pen name. Is all I put out is short erotica stories. I charge $3 a pop for them, and it's the majority of my income, and it's great. But there's
how long are those stories?
They range from 5,000 to 14,000 words on that pen name, I believe. So they're not even very long. But like people are basically paying for quality. And the reason why people are buying them on Amazon rather than watching porn videos is you have to remember a lot of the stuff that you're getting in erotica isn't stuff you can get going to Pornhub. Like, You're not going to find werewolf gay sex on Pornhub. Like, just pulling, like, topics out. Like, you're not going to find gender transformation on Pornhub. You're only able to find that in the written word.
Or I'm going to say, like, not because I have experience in this particular field, but I'm going to guess, yeah, no, you don't find that stuff on Pornhub.
Exactly, right? So that's why the...
For a second there, I thought you were going to be like, you actually can.
Yeah, I kind of did too. I was like, tell me more.
You know, rule 34, that's...
Yeah, like, you can find it animated, but, like, a lot of it, most erotica readers are women, because mostly they're looking for the emotional connection to the character you can't get in a video, like, cause especially when like a book gets into the character's mind and their mental state, which is a big part of the turn on for a lot of women and like some men too, but it tends to be more a women centric genre. Why women,
I mean, like, I, as much as I like to hate on 50 Shades of Grey,
I do too.
You sort of have to applaud the person, or at least applaud the way that self-publishing is, because originally it was fan fiction for Twilight that turned into a full-fledged novel that is now going to be a movie next year.
Oh my God, which is ridiculous. On one hand, that's great advertising for the rest of us erotica authors, because now even more people are going to know about it, and more people are going to be like, well, maybe I should buy some erotica. And like, it's a great genre to be in, but you are, like, as much as you're able to... get your name out there and everything like that, like, you're kind of still at the whims of Amazon, who does the majority of content. And now Amazon has just released something called Kindle Unlimited, which is like Netflix for books. And there's already a couple sites like that out there, like Oyster and Scribd are essentially Netflix for books. Mm-hmm. And now it's definitely like they're doing their own thing through Amazon. And to be in it, a book has to be in something called KDP Select, which means that your electronic copy of your book is only allowed to be sold on Amazon for 90 days. But you get paid for every time someone reads it.
Yeah, that's sort of the default. So there's a few things I was kind of looking into it recently because I thought, oh, that seems like it seems similar to the KDP like lending library that they had, and I wanted to look into to see what the differences were. And when I looked into it, it sort of seemed like, yeah, okay, so if you're in KDP, so like if you're already in KDP, which is the Kindle Digital Publishing platform for all authors. It's like once you're in, it doesn't matter even if you're in KDP Select, your books are automatically in KDP Unlimited.
No, that's not the case.
But I thought it was like you're automatically opted in, because I got an email saying that all my books are opted in and I'm not in KDP Select.
Are you sure you're not? You should check.
I have, let's say I haven't turned it on, unless one of my books is in auto, which I don't
You might have an auto renew, because honestly, like you have to opt into it essentially. And only KDP Select books are part of it, which is so funny because you had to do that to be part of the lending library for Prime. So I don't know why they – like, you don't have to be a Prime member to get the lending library now is essentially what it is.
Yeah. Well, I have a few friends who are, that are authors and that from back in my podcasting novel days.
Mm-hmm.
Their names are T. Morris and Pip Ballantyne. They're a married couple that they put out a steampunk series called The Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences, which is a really great, if you're into steampunk, it's a really great series. But so they were just kind of talking about it recently. And the way that from what they had heard is that the big publishers, the big six, they got a special offer for their authors that you can be in KDP Unlimited and we'll give you a larger cut of this large pool that Amazon is putting out there. And also, like, anytime anyone reads your books, you get paid the amount that someone would have just purchased your book fully. And then they sort of put that down to some of the big self-published authors, so some of the ones that made it big within the Amazon the digital marketplace. And then everyone else basically got the rest. And had they were opted in, and they have to be under the 3-month rule where you can't put your books out anywhere else except Amazon, and you're just putting it unlimited, and people and you'll get a little portion of the big large pool of money that Amazon seems to find out of nowhere and just puts it out and say, hey, these are for your authors.
And that's the thing, like on one hand, it's like, well, that's kind of like two tier, but at the same time, I can understand them doing it because, like, really, it's the same thing as giving a book advance, like an advance to an author. Like, you're going to give an author who's already, say, a self-publishing success a much higher advance as, like, say, a publishing house than you would Joe Schmo who sent you their book and you're like, oh, this might sell, and you buy it. Like, you're going to give, like, the next E.L. James, like, $1 million advance, whereas you're going to give, you know, some guy who might end up being nobody maybe $2,000. Like, it's the same kind of idea, and it's smart on their part to, like, coerce the publishers to get their books onto there. Otherwise, people weren't going to use the service. So I can kind of understand.
Like, Amazon, you have to get the big names in there and saying that, hey, we've got these big books, too, as well as all the rest. Because it just, it's marketing for them. It just builds up their market share, of course. So.
Exactly. Like, so it can be either a blessing or a curse. And it hasn't quite been decided yet. But, like, I know my book sales. I would say 80% of them, I get my money from Amazon. So, you okay, hon?
Yeah, just my throat's bugging me.
Okay.
It's okay. Don't worry.
So, anyway.
I'm alive.
Amazon gets so much of my money, like, anyway. Like, I can't really, like, be like, well, Amazon, you know, treats its authors not so great sometimes. So I'm going to lose. I would literally lose thousands of dollars. And I just, I'm not going to do that. So I've opted a few books back into the KDP Select. My next longer work I'm going to put on. It's a great, like, honestly, especially for a new author, it really is a good promo tool for yourself to put something in there and then do the, because you can, when you're in this KDP Select program, this exclusive program, not only can people borrow your book that are in Prime or in the Unlimited, but you can set your book free for up to 5 days across, like, all Amazon companies throughout the world, and basically get people reading it. And, like, sure, you're not getting money for it, but the exposure is worth, you know, its weight in gold.
Yeah, because it's that whole exposure, like, it just, it, like, A, gets your book to a lot more people, because there's a lot of people that are interested in the free books.
Oh, yeah.
I know that whenever I put my stuff out, it, like, in, on for free, I get at least, like, within the first day, anywhere between 500 to 1,000 downloads of my book.
Yeah, like, it's ridiculous. And they shoot right up, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to do that with some of my longer stuff, because I did launch a new pen name recently for more tame new adult romance stuff. Because, like, there is a lot of money to be made in that, too. So, and I'm enjoying writing that. And that's a big part of why, like, a lot of people don't realize that if you're going to make money being a writer, you can't put something out and stop and expect to make money.
Yes,
like,
agree.
You need to publish constantly. It's like the old, like, professor adage in university. It's like, publish or perish. Like, when I was at my peak and technically unemployed, I was putting out 3 to 4 short works a week, including bundles. And, like, my sales just were, like, climbing every day. Like, it was better and better every day. And, like, and then I got this other job and my sales, like, haven't stopped. But, like, I need to get my ass releasing more stuff or I'm going to really start losing money.
I will admit, like, actually, like, I have yet to, and I'm fine with saying this, I have yet to actually make any money off of Amazon. Mainly because of that very reason that I haven't, like, I'm not able to put out any fresh new stuff because it just takes me a while to be able to do so. I will say, like, the only money I've ever made actually publishing, at least doing some story related, was for my comedy album. I got a pretty decent first day out of that, and
that's awesome.
Nice sales. It was definitely a very nice little check to receive from iTunes when I got it. Let's just say it helped pay for some of the trip to Cuba.
Nice. Good job, bud.
Yeah.
But yeah,
so,
like,
that's the only time I ever made money, like, putting out stories. And that's the thing. It's like, it's not that I've sort of, like, I had to kind of get used to the fact, but I've never put my stuff out there to necessarily make money.
Mm-hmm.
I was fine with, I just wanted my stuff out there. You had a different, obviously different situation. You needed to make money but you wanted to go head first into writing in this. And it obviously has paid off for you.
And like, now that, like, I'm definitely kind of looking at my, like, schedule I've made myself for writing and reevaluating it, because what I wanted to do is I figure if I could write because I've been working generally 25 to 30 hours a week, so what I've been doing is when I'm not working, writing as much as I can, but I've been working on these longer works. Mm-hmm. And they take me about 3 weeks to write, and I was like, well, I'll write those for, you know, finish that in about 3 weeks. And then I will work on something else for my other pen name, put that out. Putting something out every 3 weeks under that one pen name or once a month is not going to keep my sales sustained. So it's essentially like I've got to do it the other way. Like, I've got to put something out literally once a week, if not more frequently. And then once I've put that story out during that week, then I can work on the longer thing.
Right.
And, like, that's what it's going to have to be, because, like, that's the way publishing is. And a lot of people, again, who are new to it don't realize just how much you have to produce. Unless you get really lucky with a hit and you're the exception to the rule, you got to work it and work it and work it every single day.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And I just wish I had more time to devote to it. But, I mean, that sort of takes me, like, to another idea that there is sort of different avenues that you can be able to take when it comes to writing, or at least putting out art in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
I've really been looking into a site called Patreon. And it's a great site for, especially for like if you're a YouTuber more specifically.
Yeah.
Because if you have like a decent size audience, but you're finding that you're not making any like really enough money to sustain yourself just from YouTube alone, or at least their ad sales, you can, Patreon allows you, it's sort of like a mini Kickstarter where you can, you put up your stuff and then people can donate money or support you by every single month. You can put up $1, $2, $3, or however many you want, and that every single time you put out something to your audience, you get paid for that particular thing. So if you put out a music video and you have 15 people or 50 people put in a total of like $500, then that means that every time you make a music video, you get $500 because you only get paid when you put out something. Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of made me think about that as a kind of an interesting avenue for writers, especially for me, because I want to be able to get back into it and do it as a regular thing again. But I also want to have a bit of a motivation of like, okay, it's worth it because I'm getting X amount of dollars guaranteed every single time I put something out.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of doing that where I'm putting a book out, at least an ebook, whether it's a short story, novella, whatever, at least put that out once a month, so that way people can get like I can start building an audience that way. Mm-hmm. And then once that goes out to the Patreon audience, have that go into the Amazon marketplace and just kind of let it grow from there. But Amazon is definitely there's a lot of like sort of magnetic pull to Amazon to put your stuff out there, because that's the largest market share.
Yeah.
But there is definitely other places that you can try. I mean, that will work. It may not work as well, but it's kind of whatever. Like, that's the thing. That's the great thing about self-publishing, is that you can do whatever the heck you want. You can set it off your own site if you want to, or you can put it up on Amazon, or you can put it up on Scribd, or you can put it up on Goodreads, whatever. There's many digital platforms you can put your stuff out there on.
Yeah, it's definitely like, and there's people who like, am I too late to kind of get into self-publishing? And it's like, no, we're still like at the birth of what's been going on. Like, it could become even bigger and better. It's definitely worth looking into if you're thinking about writing, and it doesn't really matter on the genre. I mean, the second best-selling genre after romance / erotica for self-publishers, I believe, is crime fiction.
Yeah, crime fiction, mystery, basically. And then, I mean, there's sci-fi and fantasy kind of it goes up and down, depending on sort of the interest in it.
Yeah.
I'm also finding that nonfiction can go gangbusters. I have a friend in LA, his name is Mark Nimkov. He puts out pretty much exclusively nonfiction, and he also puts out fiction too, but he says that his nonfiction stuff gets him more regular sales on a monthly basis than his fiction stuff.
Well, a lot of people are interested in getting into it, so if you can do like a guide to self-publishing genre, like people who are looking to, if you sell that for like a buck, like people will buy it. And like, or if you're like, if you know how to program code, write a like programming code for beginners book and people will buy it. Like if you are good at doing something and can write a how-to for it, put it out, because people will buy it.
Exactly. If there's something that people keep asking you how to do that you know how to do, that's a perfect topic to be able to put out a book. And it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be well-researched or like hugely researched. It's just from your own perspective, this is how you did it, or this is how you do it. And you can put it out there and people are still going to be interested in, because everyone's always interested in trying to find ways to be able to do stuff with their life or just in general gaining knowledge.
Yeah, like it's, if you're good at something, don't do it for free. Like, make sure. Yeah. So if people are asking you how to do something, publish a book about it.
Yeah. Well, I've sort of kind of adopted my own little phrase lately, because I've started to say the art is free, but the artist isn't.
Yeah.
So whatever we put out as self-published authors, it's storytelling. It's sort of basic human instinct is to tell stories, but that doesn't mean, like, yes, that story is out there, but that doesn't mean that the artist who made it can't get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. If you become a patron of those people, when you're paying money for that particular book, because mm-hmm. you're paying the author, especially with self-publisher, you're paying directly the author.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's, and you're the author is getting a much bigger percent of the cut. And like, if you're interested in like books and you want to, there is a lot of like a lot of people, again, they think like self-published work is like poorly made or not like, well, no, it's just people realize like there's self-publishing, because instead of giving, again, like a big publishing company, 75 to 90% of their own money to put out the book, where like they're getting, it's the exact opposite. Amazon keeps very small amounts of the money and you get most of it. And it's good, because like the way publishing is going, publishers have less and less money and they're only willing to invest in guaranteed hits, which is generally stuff that was already successfully either self-published or independent, like put on through an independent, like indie publisher, and they'll snap up the rights to it after it's already proved to be a success, because it's a guarantee for them. So it's, and then if you are like a new author and they are like, oh wow, like we will buy your, you know, we'll give you an advance of a couple grand, which is not very big,
nope.
And for your book, but you have to pay for all your publicity. You have to be the one to pay to go on a book tour. You have to set everything up. You have to do all your self-promo online. You have to do this. You have to do that. We're not doing any of it for you because we can't afford it. And also, now that we've bought your book, we're not putting it out for 2 years.
Yeah, basically that advance that you got that you thought they could be able to tide you over until you finish the book. No, that's your marketing budget.
Yeah, if that, like it's... Yeah. It's not cheap, and like it's getting worse and worse. And so again, if you're not like a guaranteed success for them, they're not going to invest in you. And it's just the way publishing is going. And like self-publishing, of course, is a big part of that. But like the publishers just—it's very much the same thing, because like people who are the CEOs are still making more and more money, but the people below are making less and less. And it's, why not be your own CEO?
Yeah, and that's why I kind of like, I know it's sort of jumping into music for a second, but I sort of love what Weird Al did recently. Like he basically had the self-publishing attitude. Like, yes, he was putting an album out through a label, but what really helped sell that album, because I mean the diehard Weird Al fans are going to buy his album no matter what.
Yeah.
But what got him to the number one spot in Billboard, yes, part of it was his name, but it was because he had a self-publishing attitude about it and be like, you know what, I'm going to own this and I'm going to create 8 music videos as my marketing and put it out one music video every single day the week of release.
Mm-hmm.
And it took the internet by storm.
Yeah, for sure. And like, and you have to do the same thing. You have to be creative. Like, part of my day is spent, like, I have 3 Twitter accounts for my 3 different pen names. I have a Tumblr for not just promoting my work, but I promote the work of other erotica authors, because the more on there, the more likely mine is to get seen if it's more books being on there, right? Like, it just makes sense for me. And I submit to blogs and send out queries all the time to get reviews on stuff. And like my one author name has a Pinterest account, and like it's just stuff after stuff after stuff, and it doesn't stop. And it's like watching like what trends are going on, what's selling, what's hot, what to do next. And it's I spend more time like doing my author stuff than I do working my, you know, outside the house job. And
yeah, well, if you think about it, technically like 50% of your writing job is actually writing. The other 50 is doing the rest of the stuff that
you
do.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I design all my own covers, and they're getting better every time I make one. And everything. You do all the formatting for Kindle and everything. It takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of effort, but, like, it's definitely worth it if you're willing to put in all the work.
Yeah, exactly. It's not an easy get rich quick scheme. It is definitely you have to put in the work in order to be able to do it. So
it's funny. I was talking to a friend. No names will be mentioned. Sure. And he said, like, I said something about, he's like, well, it's great that you've got, he wants to like do writing stuff. And I was like, that's fantastic. You should definitely do it. Anybody who's interested in trying it should try it. Because not only is writing enjoyable, but if you can make some money off something you enjoy, fucking do it. Yeah. But he's like, well, it's great for you because you don't have to do anything and this money just comes in. And I'm like, what? Like, I am busting my ass every day, and what? Like, I got...
Yeah, it almost becomes like the writing is sort of the bonus part of it, or the fun part, because everything yeah. else is the actual work, and it's that's what you're getting paid for, is that
like,
work.
That's the thing. So, like, today I worked from, 9:30 till 3. I got home at 3:30. I got home, I sat down, and then I started writing until Mike got home at 7. And then we had dinner, and then we came and recorded a podcast about writing. And then we're going to go watch Big Brother while I write, because I write while I watch TV. I bought a tablet and a Bluetooth keyboard. So literally, even when I'm like sitting there having like downtime, I'm writing like always. And like I'm always writing, right, hon? Like there's
constantly.
Yeah. It's always, but it's...
I hate the sound of keyboards.
Oh, no, shut up. But no, like I got the... Because you said about you can't write at home. Like I can't write on the computer. Like, I find it's very distracting. I can edit on the computer. I can format on the computer. But I can't write on the computer. Somehow, I can sit and watch things like Ghost Adventures and Destination Truth and Top Gear and write up a storm. But I'm at... So I can't... Because the actual tablet is on the coffee table. And I'm on... the couch with the keyboard on my lap. And
no, it's not quite on your lap. You like leg hold it. It's weird.
Can I just say though, I'm so glad that you're watching Ghost Adventures, because I remember talking about that like I think 2-3 years ago, and oh my goodness, I love Ghost Adventures. But anyway,
I love that show. But yeah, it's I have to wait till the fall for a new season. But at least we've got Aftershocks.
That's true. Anyway, but when you say that you have sort of a certain place that you have to write, I can't. Like I said, I can't. I am the stereotypical Starbucks author, because that's the only place I can be able to write in is like. It is in coffee shops.
Yeah.
Because it literally forces myself, my butt into a seat, and I feel like it's a complete waste of time if I'm not doing something, which mm-hmm. is generally writing. So granted, yes, I should do more of that, and I'm kind of sad that I haven't over the past little bit. But I mean, yeah, like life gets in the way, and that does happen a lot. But you just have to sort of have the dedication and be like, nope, I've got to get some writing in. Otherwise, this day is going to be a complete waste, even though you worked all day.
Another thing, like I talk to other writers on a forum I read on Reddit. It's a private forum, but it's specifically for erotica authors. It's not called Erotica Authors. There is a forum called that on Reddit, but that's not the one I'm talking about.
Sorry, because I was about to say I'm going to write that down.
No, it has to be for, you have to be for writers of smut, if you will.
Oh, I see, okay.
And it's very informative, but there's one, it's a guy, but he's got like, I don't know how many pen names he has at this point. But at one point, like, he was making, I shit you not, as long as he's not lying, but like, he's shown us his sales figures, so I think he's telling the truth. He's written, he's made some months over $10,000.
Holy shit.
But while he was doing this, he's got two kids and a wife.
Wow.
And he was literally putting out an erotic short every day while working a full-time job.
Wow.
Yeah, some people can type faster than others. That's another thing that a lot of people don't realize. Like, your typing speed is a big part of it. I can do, depending on how long the short is, I can, like I said, do 3 to 4 a week if I've got more time. Mm-hmm. Mind you, I've put out 3 this week already, and I've been working, so, and I'm already working on it. Plus, I've got an outline for my next novel, which I just finished tonight.
I am definitely been very ashamed on this podcast, because I have not done any of that.
Well, I was talking to a different guy on this thing. And he was like, you know, I need a kick in the ass because I haven't done anything this summer and, like, my sales numbers are falling. And I'm like, and I know this guy is unemployed and lives with his parents and plays World of Warcraft. And I was like, listen, like, it was Monday I typed this. I was like, I got up at 7. I immediately went and did laundry. Then I wrote for until the laundry was done. And then I put the laundry away. And then I did this. And then I wrote some more. And then I wrote some more. And then blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. And I also did, like, cleaning around the house and dishes and all this other stuff. And then I went to work at 5 o'clock at night, and then I worked till almost 10, and then I came home and I wrote some more. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? If I can do all that, so can you. So
I'll admit, I mean, this is definitely giving me a big quick in the kick in the pants. Because that's the thing. It's like, even with doing Terrible Warriors, that's actually the thing that I've been enjoying a lot lately is crafting stories for Terrible Warriors.
Yeah. Because
that's sort of been my kind of mental thinking process for writing lately, and more specifically over the past few weeks, because I'm about to do another Matrix story.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, you could definitely, like, as long as you kind of, like, it's kind of cheating, but it's not really. If you take out the licensed stuff and just craft the stories in fantasy worlds with your own, basically Fifty Shades of Grey it, take out, so not the Matrix, but the grid or something like that, and you're making your own, like, world. Like, there's nothing to say you can't adapt the stories you've already crafted into, like, a short story or a novel or something. Like, go for it. Write it. Get it done.
Well, yeah, I hadn't actually thought about that specifically, but I have thought about putting at least my Matrix stuff out there, because that's the thing. I love that story, and I want to be able to become the, if they ever decide to bring a Matrix comic or a Matrix something out into the world again, I want to be the guy who writes it, or at least is a major part of it, because it is something that I am extremely passionate about. And crafting this story for Terrible Warriors, it brings back a lot of the joy that I had when I was first starting to write, was crafting that story and I get so hooked up on the language, on the on what I'm like, on how to build, on how to I'm editing as I'm doing it, and I had to realize this week, it's like, no, it's, you just sort of, if you just sort of let the story happen, because the first draft is always going to be just getting the story done.
Yes,
the rest of it is when you do the editing portion of it.
So what I have learned from I started working on a novel in, oh my God, about this time, 2012. I didn't publish it until fall 2013. And then I've been, like, writing constantly ever since. Like, the novel took forever, but I was working 45 to 50 hours a week when I wrote the novel, too. So, oh my God. One of the best things you can absolutely do if you're writing basically anything longer than about 15,000 words, anything shorter than that is probably not necessary, I guess. Do an outline. Yep. Do an outline to keep yourself on track, because you will seriously, if you have the best idea in the world for your characters, like, if you're, like, you know, in the shower, like, shower's a great time to think, before bed's a good time to think, when you, like, just fucking write it down in, like, where you want to put it in the story, because I guarantee you, if you wait until it's like, well, I'll remember when I get to that part in the story, you're gonna be like, fuck, I had something for this, and now I don't know what it is, and I'm literally stuck. Well, here's writer's block, I ain't getting anything done.
Yeah, that's what I use majority of my voice memo stuff for now, is basically whenever I think of something that will be added later, I record it so that at least I have it and I don't forget it later when I actually am writing it.
Something that has actually been suggested to me, and I've started to look into it for my ideas for the comic that I'm doing after Mike Stupid Comics, is cue cards. You write down your ideas on cue cards, and then you can just move them wherever you want them in the story. Like, oh, this didn't work out where it was, I'm gonna move it here, you know, you can just take it out entirely, you know. So, but you have a place that you can write those ideas down and then put them where you want them later.
Glad you still showed up again, huh?
Yeah, I know, I am still here.
I suggest there is the software that I actually do like to use to write is a software called Scrivener, and it's basically a word processor on steroids for writers. And one of the things you can be able to do is you can actually, like, you actually have, like, your own kind of in the program, but one of the options is having a virtual cork board, and you can create your own little cue cards, and kind of move stuff around, and allows you to sort of organize your thoughts that way. And it's great too, like, 'cause then you can actually be able to separate things out into scenes or chapters, and it's a little bit easier organized. You can put your research into there as well. It gives you can do project goals. It's like, okay, in order to be able to reach this writing deadline by this date, you need to write this many words a day, and it'll keep track of all that, of all those words that you do write. It even has, like, a full screen mode, so if you are distracted by everything around it, you can actually, it will just turn everything black, and it just shows your word processor, just a blank screen, and you start typing.
I've heard nothing but good things about that program. I've heard it's absolutely freaking fantastic. I know people who like go absolutely crazy about it. My thing is like because I do all the writing on the tablet, I use Google Docs and then I put
that's
it into
their
Word.
One too.
Yeah, no, I put it into a word processor on the computer when it's time to edit, and then I do all the file formatting there, and then it's good to go.
Yeah.
But there's so many options. Like we're living in the best age so far to be a writer. Like if you know, like if you're willing to put in the work, there's nothing stopping you from being a writer.
Exactly.
But you have to remember the average writer makes $500 a year, so don't think you're going to be like super successful right away, and you constantly have to be putting stuff out.
Yeah.
And so all I can recommend to people who are looking to try it, you cannot take a break. When you take a break, your sales will suffer and you'll be like shit.
Yeah.
Which is what
I'm
doing.
And it's not the phrase quantity over quality, cuz you still have to put out some quality stuff. But it's because the internet moves so fast, and there are times that you'll see in your Facebook newsfeed, you haven't seen friends that you haven't talked to in a while, but they're there. You just haven't seen them at a time when you were on your newsfeed and looking at it. So it's, you still have to put quality stuff out there, but you have to keep putting stuff out there. That's the tricky part.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I think, that is a good spot to end it here.
So I'm going to advertise real quick. Because Steve got to.
Right.
If you're looking to buy my full-length novel, it is a historical romance in the vein of 50 Shades of Grey. My one pen name is Laura Holt, H-A-U-L-T Holt. That is my most similar to me name. My latest pen name is Helena Shaw. And Helena has one book out, and she hopefully next week will have a second out because the editor said she'll have it to me tomorrow. And then if you are looking for some dirty, 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 dirty smut, dirty, and it can get weird because, like, seriously, it's the weird stuff that sells. You're going to want...
From hearing some of the story ideas that you've talked about, yeah, no, it's weird stuff, guys.
Yeah, it, like, because you... Stuff you can't get in porn. Actually, my latest release is inspired by a true story I read on Reddit.
Wow.
Inspired by a true story in the sense that The Strangers was based on the Sharon Tate murders.
Wow.
Not in like murdery, but like just, it's not actually like very similar. It was just, hey, I read this story. It inspired me to write this story. Does that make
there
sense?
You go.
Yeah, no, that's what, when you see like inspired by in a horror movie, it's not actually based on a true story. It's just the writer of the horror movie was inspired by something else.
Yep.
Anyway, Selena Storm, you can look me up there. I'm finally giving away my pen name.
I was going to say, that's the first time you've
ever done
that.
Buy my fucking books. No, you don't have to, but like you should, because if you want to read with one hand on your Kindle, then you should check out my books. I swear there is something for everyone in there. And if you have Kindle Unlimited, I have several books available for you to read for free.
Also, well, since everybody's doing
no, you're not allowed. You didn't contribute.
No, I'm promoting my T-shirt, my new T-shirt that just got released this week, the Little Caesar shirt.
That's a great shirt, by the way.
Well, thank
you very
much.
Why haven't you submitted
Steve?
It to like any of the other sites?
Who says I haven't?
I haven't
heard anything back.
Oh, okay.
Did you just submit it to Ripped?
Sorry?
Did you submit it to Ripped Apparel?
No. I'm waiting to hear back from somebody else before I send it off.
Oh,
but
okay.
Anyway, you can find that shirt at redbubble.com. It's just called Little Caesar. It's the Little Caesar logo with Caesar from Planet of the Apes in it. I also put a link to it on the page for the show page. And also, please consider donating to the Kickstarter to buy Steve a better mic.
No, he just donate to the Kickstarter to get me to get off my lazy ass and
Steve
plug in the
lazy.
Good mic.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get you one of those Patreons.
Maybe.
Yes.
So
yeah. That actually will come soon. There will be patreon.com/Steve Saylor eventually.
Once the Indiegogo for getting Steve to stop being lazy comes through.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, for this week's episode of the Untitled Mike and Laura Project, I have been Mike.
And I'm Laura.
And we thank our special guest, Steve Saylor, for joining us.
Yeah, I'm a repeat guest.
You are. You're the first repeat guest.
Woo!
Woo!
Congratulations.
Yay.
Actually, no, Trevor.
but the Christmas bourbon episodes don't really count, do they?
The bourbon Christmas episodes? Those are like a holiday tradition now.
I expect another one that's 4 hours long.
Oh,
next.
My God.
We'll see.
I'll kill myself.
You don't have to drink on it.
Join you in drink. How about that?
All right. Oh, we'll see what happens. Christmas is a ways away. But we will see you guys next week, hopefully. And until then, I need a better sign off.
Love you.
Love ya.
Well, kids, that's all you get. That's it. Read a book.
Tell me about the cat noise.
The cat noise?
Yeah.
The one that Kratos makes?
Yeah.
The...
I think that's what it sounds like.
But I here he goes. Just ran by. Like a teeny ninja. Shit. Oh, I'm drunk, babe.
The Untitled Mike and Laura Project is presented in association with ThisWeekInGeek.net. Check out ThisWeekInGeek.net for more geek content, and you can subscribe to all of our content through iTunes or any other podcatcher. If you want to tell us your thoughts on the Untitled Mike and Laura Project, you can give us a call at our voicemail line at 817-717-7202 or send an email to feedback at thisweekingeek.net, which I highly recommend you do, as we loves the feedback here at this show. And then, of course, you can contact us on the Twitters at reply Mike Laidman, at reply Laura underscore Raptor, and, of course, at reply This Week in Geek. Follow us while you're at it. We'll be best friends or something.
Did that sound a lot better in your head?
Yes, it did.
Until next week.
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.